1 Samuel chapter number 15 this morning. 1 Samuel 15. There is a time here in the history of Israel where Saul has disobeyed the Lord. In verse number 17 of 1 Samuel 15, we read, "And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord." Turn with me, if you would, to verse number 1 of chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Father, I pray that you would help us today as we look into this portion of Scripture. I pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us and minister to each and every person here today. I pray that you would reveal your will for our lives. I pray that we'd be submissive to it and obedient. I pray that you bless again over the next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we find where Saul is no longer going to be the king of Israel. Saul has been told by Samuel to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites, and Saul chooses not to do this. He has a different plan, and he doesn't do it the way God says to do it. Samuel then comes back to Saul and asks Saul why he didn't do what God had told him to do. Saul had all the excuses. But Saul made a decision in his life not to do what God had planned for his life. We find then in verse number 1 of chapter 16, Samuel is mourning and Samuel is upset over the fact that Saul has sinned and God's blessing is no longer on Saul. And he says, God says to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" He says in the same verse, "I've rejected him from reigning over Israel." And he says, I've rejected Saul, and how long are you going to mourn? And then he goes on in the same verse to tell Samuel to take a horn of oil, go to the house of Jesse. There's one of Jesse's sons there that he's going to anoint to become king. And so we find in chapter 16, and for sake of time, we won't read all the way through this, but Samuel goes to the house of Jesse. He finds Jesse's sons, and one by one, they pass through Samuel, and God says, "That's not the one, that's not the one." They finally get to the youngest one. They call for him, and David comes, and God says, "That's the king, that's the one that I desire to be king over Israel." We find, though, that from that point forward, David's life is changing. We find in chapter number 17 that David goes and he fights Goliath, and David is just a young little boy, and he gets to the battle there where Israel is fighting the Philistines. And the Bible says that every day this giant named Goliath would come out and he would mock God and curse the Israelites. And David came out and David put a stone in his sling, and the Bible says he went down and he killed Goliath. Now, the story is a lot more interesting than I just said. It just don't have the time to really develop that. But think about this little boy defeating this giant with just a stone. David saw the power of God in his life. Here we find, though, that once this happens, Saul begins to eye David. Saul realizes that David is going to be the king, and Saul is jealous, and David flees from Saul because Saul is after David's life. I want to turn with me, if you would please, to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel 21. And David is fleeing from Saul. Saul has tried to kill David. He threw a javelin against toward David, and David moved and it hit the wall, and David was able to get out of Saul's sight and leave. Now David is on the run. He knows for sure that Saul is after him and Saul wants him killed. And we find in 1 Samuel chapter number 21 in verse number 8, "And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste.
And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. And if thou wilt take that, take it. For there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." And David arose and fled that day for the fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. We find here that David is fleeing from Saul. He comes to the priest. He comes to the house of God here where the priest is, and he comes here, and the priest says to him, what are you doing here, David? And David says that the king's business requires haste. He comes off like he's doing the will of Saul the king, and the priest says, what are your needs? And David is hungry, and so David asks for food. David doesn't have a weapon, so he asks for a weapon, and David is really making up a story here. Instead of David just saying that, "I'm fleeing from Saul, I'm running from Saul, I'm scared, I'm not sure what's going to happen to my life," we find David here at a place where David is afraid, and he begins to make some things up because he's not sure what to do. I wonder this morning, have you ever been at a place in your life where you're just not sure what to do? You're not sure what tomorrow is going to hold. Do you know God here is looking to put David through trials because he's looking for an honest man. He's looking for a man that will wholly follow after him and be the king that he desires for Israel to have. Saul was no longer an honest man. Saul was no longer doing the will of God. Saul was a jealous man. Saul was a prideful man. Saul was not going to lead the nation of Israel the way that God desired for them to be led. So God removes Saul, his power from Saul. He anoints David, but he's not going to put David in there right away because there's some things he wants to do so that David becomes what God wants him to become. Saul's been rejected. He's fallen to pride. He's fallen to himself. David is a young man, and God does not desire for David to go through what Saul has gone through. You see, David here is forced to make some decisions in his life. You know, life is full of decisions that each and every one of us need to make. And every time you come to a place in your life where a decision must be made, you have the choice to make the right decision and be truthful, or you have a choice to make a decision that has the potential to hurt you even greater in life. And I want to just look at this thought, this story here this morning, this life of David here going through these trials. And I want to pull out some things that I believe, some decisions that David made. He made some good decisions, and he made some bad decisions. Let me preface this message this morning by saying this. When you're an honest man and you make the right decisions according to God's will, you can never go wrong by following God's will. But at times we get put in places where we don't always make the right decisions in life. Here we find, first of all, we find David in chapter 21. He's fleeing from Saul. Saul has a servant there. In verse number 7 of chapter 1, there was a servant of Saul that was there that day. He was detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg. He was the chief herdsman that belonged to Saul. Now, this is going to come up later in the story here. It's important to see that there was someone here named Doeg that was a servant of Saul. He was there at that place being detained of the Lord, the Bible says, and he is there and he is watching what's happening. David comes to this place, he comes to the priest, and he says that the king's business requires haste. He comes to the house of God. Instead of submitting himself to God, instead of coming to the place here in verse number 8 and saying, "I'm in the house of God, I'm before the priest, I'm before the man of God, I've got a need in my life, I need to have the help of God," instead of him doing that, David, he went to the right place, but his mindset was wrong. His thinking was wrong. David went to the place that could help him. But David wasn't thinking correctly when he came to this place. You see, David came to this place with untruth. He felt that he needed to come to the place to find a sword. He came to the place to find food. But he needed to come to the house of God to find strength from God, not some material possession that he thought he needed. You know, each and every one of us are here today, and there are decisions that we have made this past week. Each and every one of us are going to make decisions this upcoming week. We come to the house of God every Sunday, and I pray that you've come here to get wisdom from God's Word, to get understanding from God's Word. And what you get here in the house of God should help you make good, godly decisions all week long in your life. But you know, some come to the house of God with the wrong mindset. I would ask you this morning, what's on your mind as you came to the house of God? What did you come to the house of God for this morning? Did you come to find truth? David, he came to satisfy something within himself, but he did not come to hear from God. You know, as I read this story, one of the failures I see in David's decision-making here, instead of him coming and saying to the priest, I've got a problem in my life, there's a situation that I'm dealing with, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. Saul is after my life. Saul is pursuing me. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Instead of going and being honest there in the house of God, we find David going with untruth. You know, I believe this, if we come to the house of God honestly, to hear from God, I believe that will help us as we make decisions in our life. Could you imagine if David would have came to the right place with the right mindset to get the right help? You know what's sad? David comes to the priest. David comes to the place of God. But instead of coming to worship God, instead of coming to hear from God, David does not get what he needs to get. He does not get the direction he needs. David, I see this, he went to the right place, but he went with the wrong mindset. Also, I find this to be true here. David is anointed king. David is going to have people watching him in his decision making. You know, David didn't realize here in his decision making that people are watching him. In verse number 7 of chapter number 21, the Bible says there was a man, Doeg, that was there, that he was at this place. He was being detained before the Lord. He was a herdsman that belonged to Saul. He was the chief herdsman. He was a direct servant for Saul, and he was there at this place, and guess what he was doing? He was watching David. My friend, this morning, as we listen to this message and we realize this, that each and every one of us are making decisions in our life, we must remember there are people watching us as we make our decisions in life. You know what we find that people are watching? In verse number 9 of chapter number 22, the Bible goes on to tell us that Doeg is now talking with Saul. Just one chapter over, chapter 22. And he says, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob. I saw Ahimelech and his son. Verse number 10, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent and called this priest and his sons and those that were there. And we find later that because that David went to this priest and because Saul found out that the priest helped David, this priest and his son's life was taken. You know what David forgot? His decisions affect other people. Let me speak to you just for a moment. Parents, you're here in this room this morning, you need to remember that your decisions will affect your children, and your children are watching you. I tell you, one of the most sobering things in my life is to know that there are 5 young children that are watching me every day and watching the decisions that I make. You might think that decisions you make are not going to affect anyone else. You might think that the decisions you make, they're just simply for yourself. But you must remember this. There are people watching the decisions that you make, and your decisions will affect other people. We need God to give us Christians, God to give us men, God to give us women here in our church that are not easily changed, they are not easily swayed, but they're going to stay steadfast, they're going to stay unmovable, they will make decisions that are spiritual decisions so that those who are watching would see the results of a spiritual decision. You see, we find here that David is making decisions and there's others that are watching.
I want you to see here as well in this chapter, chapter 21, that David, he begins to do some things that are not good. He gets up in verse number 10, he arises, he goes to the Achish, the king of Gath. He flees from Saul. He gets there, and when they get to this place, in verse number 12, and David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. It's like David's afraid. He's afraid of Saul. He's afraid of Achish. You know, David was anointed king. David was told by God, I've got a plan for your life, and I'm going to work this plan in your life. You're going to become king. I'm going to give you power. He saw God give him strength when he killed Goliath. He saw that God would give him wisdom. He saw that God gave him favor with man there. He saw God work in his life when David was alone, and that bear came to get the sheep, and that lion came to get the sheep. God gave him the wisdom and God gave him the strength to kill that lion and to kill that bear. All through David's life, up to this point, he has seen God's power. He has seen God's blessing. He has seen God's calling on his life. But now David is making decisions. You know what I find here? As he flees from Saul and he flees from Achish the king, he's afraid of Achish. That David feared man instead of trusting God. You know, friend, this morning, I believe this. A lot of our decisions we're made out of fear, not necessarily made out of trusting God. Have you ever made a decision in your life where you made it out of fear? You're afraid of what tomorrow is going to bring, or you're afraid of the circumstances today, or you're afraid of what might come. And so we make a decision out of fear instead of trusting God in spite of our fear. See, David had a promise from God that he was going to become king. God's hand of blessing was upon David. And just because there were trials in David's life, it didn't mean that God had left him. And just because David going through circumstances that were outside of his control, it didn't mean that God had left him. It was the opposite. God was putting David through things in life because God wanted David to see that his hand was upon him and God can be trusted. But you know, many of us, I believe, are like David. When decisions come, we look at the external things instead of trusting God for his blessings and for his supply. He forgot that God was the Almighty One. He forgot that God was his strength. He forgot that God was his shepherd. Instead, he saw man and he feared man. I'm reminded what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what I find, as Brother Steck had made the announcement, you know, we go through things in life that causes us to be afraid. Circumstances happen in life and situations happen in life and we're not quite sure what to do, and death comes and cancer comes. Preacher friend of mine in Pennsylvania this past week, he went in to have his appendix taken out, and when they got his appendix out, they found a tumor. So they removed his appendix and removed this tumor and found out later that this tumor was cancerous, and now at 35, 36 years old, he's found out that he's got cancer and he's waiting for his results, and I can tell you he is afraid. Just a year or so ago, his twin brother had cancer and went through cancer in his life. And just several years ago, his grandfather had cancer and that cancer took his life. And you know, as you're laying in that hospital bed and you hear the word cancer, it's easy to be afraid. This time of year, it's easy to look and say the holidays are coming and I'm missing someone that I love, and it's easy to be afraid. You might look at the finances or look at your work situation and say, I'm not sure what's happening. It seems like things are a mess and I'm afraid. You can look at the circumstances around this world. Just if you aren't afraid, just watch the news for a period of time and you'll become fearful.
It seems like the whole world is in chaos. It seems like there's no peace, and it seems like we're trying to do everything we can to establish peace, only to find that there is no peace, and we find country now going against country. We find wars. We find battles. We find talks of nuclear weapons, and you know, it's a difficult and a scary place to be, but instead of looking at man, instead of fearing man, instead of looking at circumstances around us and becoming afraid, we need to learn this: when decisions must be made, I can trust God in every decision. God is to be trusted. We ought not fear man, but we ought to trust God. You see, when you're called to do a work, no man can stop that work. What David needed to realize this is that God called you, David. No man can stop you when God's called you. If God has called you to do a work, then man can't stop you. When God has put it in you to do something, and He'll give you the strength, and He'll give you the power, and He'll give you what's needed, no man can stop you from doing what God has called you to do. You know, I understand in our life that each and every one of us face struggles. Every one of us face burdens. There's weight of finances. There's weight of just burdens that we bear each day. There's weight of sickness. There's weight of things that come in our life each and every day. And decisions must be made. But we need to learn this: when a decision must be made, we ought to trust God instead of fear man. I said this, that David did some things that weren't good. But there was something that David did here in this portion of Scripture that I thought was a great decision that he made. David went to the house of God. He went to the place of God for the wrong reasons. Not a good decision. He went there to get help for himself instead of getting help from God. Not a great decision. We find here in this chapter that he feared man instead of trusting God. Not a great decision. But there is a decision here that David did that I think is a wonderful decision. David says in verse number 9, is there a sword? Is there a weapon here that I can have? And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Remember Goliath? Now, it wasn't the sword that David used to kill Goliath. You know what's interesting here? As he gives David this sword and David says, give it me, I'll take that sword. David wasn't going to use this sword against Saul. David, if David wanted to fight Saul, he could have stayed there and fought Saul. Later on, we find where David had the opportunity to kill Saul, and David never takes that opportunity to kill Saul. So it's interesting to me here that David here has a sword. He says, there is none like that. Give it me, in verse number 9. As I read that portion of Scripture, I think how interesting that is. David needs a sword, but he's not going to use it against his enemy. David wants a sword, but David's never used this sword before. He didn't kill Saul, Goliath with this sword. Now he stood over Goliath. He took that sword and he was able to cut Goliath's head off there as he killed Goliath with that rock. But Goliath was already dead. But David did something very interesting that I think is very valuable and each and every one of us ought to do when we're making decisions in our life. David put something in his life that reminded him of a past victory that God had given him. You see, sometimes we get in the middle of things and we forget that God has already blessed us. We get in the middle of something and we forget that God has already shown himself real previously in life. We get in the middle of something and we forget that God has already shown himself real, and God has already shown his power, and God has already shown his majesty. And there is none like that, David says. What that was, it was a token, it was a reminder that God still is in the saving business. You see, there was a great giant that mocked God, but there was a shepherd that believed God. There was a nation that feared this giant, but there was a shepherd boy that trusted God. There was an enemy that drove Israel to hide, but there was a shepherd boy that led them to pursue. When you're faced with a decision, maybe in life you're faced with a decision and you're not quite sure what to do. Maybe you're afraid and you say, this is a major decision. I've never been here before. Do what David did. He went back and he took that sword of Goliath. He said, there is none like it. Give it me. What did he mean by that? That sword reminded him that God had already given him the victory. That sword was a trophy. That sword was a trophy in David's life that God was going to give him a victory. You know, I believe this, as we're making decisions in life, each and every one of us ought to go back and remember the blessings of God previously in our life. That sword was a trophy of God's strength. You know, that sword reminded David when he went to battle that day and he heard that Goliath, that Philistine cursing God, and he saw that Saul was afraid and he saw that all his brothers were afraid and he saw that the entire army hid from this one man. He was reminded that God gave him strength that day, and that God gave him a victory that day, and that God gave him a blessing that day, and that God was trustworthy, and that God's promises are true, and that God has power, and that God has authority. Listen to me today. Go back and find those victories in life that God has previously given to you, and realize this, that God will and can do it again. That sword reminded David of previous victories. You know, I might not know what tomorrow holds, but God holds tomorrow. God is all powerful. God has all the authority that's needed. David did a wise thing. He put something in his life that reminded him of God's victory. If you're saved today, there is no reason for any of us to walk around defeated. There is no reason for any of us to feel rejected or feel like that the world is on top of us and we have no resource. We have all the resources of heaven at our disposal because God has all authority and power. We need to remember that this morning. David put something in his life that reminded him of past victories. This morning, friend, if you're going through some things in life, I would recommend you do this. Go back to a previous thing that God has done for you and remember His many blessings. Go back to that time when that Philistine, that giant, stood in your life and God gave you victory and God gave you help and God gave you encouragement and God gave you strength when you felt all alone. Remember this, if God did it then, God will do it again. You know, as I walked in the back doors this morning, the gym doors, I like to go in those doors and just kind of walk through the facilities before I get into the auditorium here. And I like walking through those doors because as I walk through those doors, there's a trophy case that sits on the right-hand side there. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me that God has blessed and there's teams here that have had some wins. As I walk into the gym, there's banners that are hanging on the walls. Why do we have those banners there? You know what they're reminders? Previous victories. You know, I think every Christian ought to have one of those in their life. No, it wasn't something that you did. It wasn't something done in your strength. It wasn't something done in your power. But I think every Christian ought to have reminders in their life, trophies in their life, banners in their life, that when they were at a place and they did not know what to do, that they trusted God and He came through. And those are reminders that each and every one of us need to have. If we're facing something today, look back on yesterday and see how God got us through. Look back on yesterday and see God's strength. Look back on yesterday and see God's power. And if you're facing something today that you think is monumental and you say, how am I going to get through? The same way you got through in the past is the same way God's going to bless you in the future. He gave you victories before. Dear friend, He'll give you victories again. There is nothing, nothing, nothing too great for our God.
There's no situation or problem in your life that God himself cannot see you through.